All right, welcome back to Keep Chopping Wood, episode. Ryan, what episode are we on? I don't even know what episode we're on.
14.
Episode 14. Really happy that everybody in Jacksonville is safe. I know that you guys kind of had a crazy week last week with Hurricane Matthew. A bunch of you had to evacuate and everything. So I'm just glad that everybody's safe and nothing happened. I think that Hank and Ryan share my sentiments. Neither one of you guys was in Jacksonville, right? I think we went over this last week.
Yeah, I was in Orlando.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, I think both of our... Hank, after the podcast, my parents invited me to Jacksonville too, and I politely declined.
Why would you invite somebody to come into the storm?
It doesn't make sense. For the same reason you'd vote for Trump.
So we had a question and answer segment at the end of the last show. We opened up, please keep tweeting at the Keep Chopping Wood handle. Like we told you on the last show, you don't have to tweet at the Big Cat Country handle anymore for the show. Keep Chopping Wood has its own handle now. So keep tweeting your questions that you want us to answer. We'll keep doing that segment. It seemed to get pretty good feedback. And Alfie was supposed to come on with us. He had some things that he had to take care of. So we're going to preview the Chargers. Or, I mean, not the Chargers, the Bears. And then I'm guessing that a large portion of this show is going to be, like, we'll keep fleshing this question and answer segment out and see how it goes and just kind of riff it. Chicago, Hank and I were talking about before the show that even with their two primetime games, neither one of us has seen a ton of them. So all analysis for that, keep that in mind. And it doesn't seem like I don't think that this show is this particular game is going to be getting a lot of national attention either. I don't think that very many people are interested in the outcome of this game, except for maybe like crazy gamblers.
I mean, I barely want to pay attention to it. I'm rooting for one of the teams. So,
you haven't seen the Bears at all. I haven't seen the Bears at all. I know enough about like just following the right people on Twitter, I guess, and yeah. Reading the right things, I guess. I know enough about them to talk about them. The most interesting thing going on with them right now, obviously, is they Jay Cutler. Is no longer playing. Brian Hoyer started the last three games for them. Put up 300 touchdowns a game, two touchdowns, and no picks. Did you say that he's like on some efficiency record pace right now?
Yeah, I think Ryan mentioned it, but like over, like I saw like a picture, like over his last 20 games, he's like outproducing Aaron Rodgers or something crazy like that.
Well, that's not that crazy, Aaron. Aaron is not producing up to his usual standard, to put it lightly. But yeah, Hoyer playing well. They've been really non-committal about going back to Jay whatsoever, and they don't really have a reason to at this point. I mean, I don't know what his contract status or anything is like that, but it seems like he is not. It doesn't look like he's no longer in their long-term plans anymore at this point. He started both games against Jacksonville last year, threw for 300 yards almost 300 in the first game, 293, three touchdowns, zero interceptions, 249 yards, one touchdown, one interception in the second game. Houston scored 30 points in both games. So it's not like he's an unfamiliar opponent.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, I remember last year, that first game they played against them. Like, you know, this is obviously a different defense, but just showing how, like, well he did against them and just, like, how embarrassing it was. They, on one drive, they punted it, and the Texans down at the one. They're like, okay, it's Brian Hoyer at the one-yard line. There's no way they can't turn this into something. And he literally drove 99 yards in the span of, like, 10 plays or whatever, and for months all you saw was we really let Brian Hoyer drive 99 yards down.
Yeah, was that's when Nuke torched House all the way down the field, right? Yeah, that was
like two touchdowns that game or something like that. Like pretty much like every positive Hoyer play was just Nuke destroying House.
Okay, so that's actually a pretty good segue. Is House done right now? Prince is supposed to be coming back. And he plays well. It's just you can never count on him with health. You never know when the dude is going to go down. That was the story with him in New York. It was the story here. Like when he has played, he's looked good. House has not played well at all this year. You also have Aaron Colvin coming back from suspension, and he's pretty much going to play your slot spot. So you don't really – I mean, you can move Jalen inside if you want to, but you don't need to anymore if you don't want to. Yeah. You can have him just lock down one of those outside spots. So they have a bunch of depth at corner coming back, and it just doesn't seem like if they don't need to count on Devon House anymore at this point. Should he even be getting like, or do you think he'll be getting rotational snaps?
Yeah, no, like you mentioned, like the only like real thing that you can like real scenario where you can imagine him finding snaps at this point is if Prince goes down. And I don't want to say like, you know, you expect Prince to get hurt, but also you shouldn't really expect him to stay healthy for the next 10 games or whatever. So that's definitely foreseeable. But other than that, other than maybe rotating with Prince, because I can't imagine them ever really taking Jalen off the field. Like they've been rotating their corners like a little bit, like even like when they had minus Colvin, when they had everybody like back and healthy. But I can't imagine him playing more than like 10 snaps, like if that.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So so far this year, I mean, Alshon Jeffery played pretty good like the first couple of weeks. With Hoyer though, not really. I don't think he's been that productive with Hoyer. And like I said, I haven't watched the Bears, but I've heard, I think it was Sigmund Bloom, I've heard talked about it on his podcast a couple times. Like, I think he's got like some nagging injuries, and you can just kind of tell he's laboring. So the corner versus wide receiver matchup, I think, in this game is real interesting. Like, does Jalen shadow Alshon? I know Kevin White, he's done for the year, but he wasn't very good anyways. In that the Cameron Meredith dude, the undrafted free agent for them last year, that he's like a freak athlete. Like, he's a big smart guy. All the fantasy guys loved him. I remember that. But he was an undrafted free agent last year. He plugged right in, and he's been productive right away.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like wherever Hoyer goes, he kind of just finds that one target wherever, and he's just going to force feed them all the targets, and everybody else will get the scraps. And it kind of seems like that's the situation that's going on with him and Alshon at this point, because Cutler, he developed a rapport with Alshon throughout the years, and Hoyer, as far as I know, is the first time that he's ever really played meaningful minutes with him. Plus, like you mentioned, he's always hurt. Like, I can't remember over the last 2 years where we haven't seen a Alshon might not play this Sunday report or whatever. So like you mentioned, at this point, there's no really point in asking Jalen or any other corner to shadow anybody, because I'm not sure if Eddie Royal is playing or not, but at this point,
I don't know.
All three of their top receivers who started the season are either not playing or they're limited right now. So I would assume they just roll out there and their base defense and just ask them to play normal assignments.
Yeah, and Jalen didn't exactly shadow, but he did quite a bit of moving around in terms of following T.Y. Hilton around the field in the Colts game.
Yeah.
For this game specifically, though, like I said, with your depth with Prince coming back, I think I read somewhere that 60 or 70% of Hoyer's throws are going to the right side of the field. So I think it makes a lot of sense to play Jalen Ramsey on that side and have him lock that side down, especially if Cam Meredith is playing on that side most of the time and eating up most of the targets, because it makes sense that Cam Meredith would be a target hog, because Hoyer was the backup going into the season. Meredith was a backup behind White and Alshon. So you know that those guys got a lot of work together in training camp and in terms of work like that. Those two have been working together, so it kind of makes sense that he'd be gobbling up the targets right now. Like I said, just leave Jalen on that side of the field. I don't think you need to move guys around that much, but force an undrafted rookie free agent to beat Jalen, who's already blossoming into the better young corners in the league. And then you can kind of throw different guys at a hobbled Alshon and try to tread water there.
Yeah, no, definitely. In terms of Bears offense versus Jaguars defense, I'm way more interested to see how the ground game goes.
Yeah, actually, I think it was Logman that was talking about it on the Jaguars Today show. It's not sexy to talk about, but Malik versus Kyle Long is the premier matchup in this game. That's going to be a really, really fun battle to watch. And Josh Stinton too. He's starting to settle in. The ground game's coming unlocked with Jordan Howard, the rookie from Indiana, who's he ran all over the Colts, and he had a good game the game before, I think, too.
Yeah,
but he's been productive since he's been playing, and both of those guards are really, really good players. So it's going to be a really intriguing matchup.
Yeah, and that's kind of been Fox's like thing everywhere he goes to. Like, you know, he's going to want to run the ball.
Yeah, exactly. Like they, even in, with like with Peyton Manning, when Peyton Manning was there, when they first started out, like they were trying to run like the two-back offense, like his old Carolina offense almost. And then it took about two games of Peyton Manning doing that before they started going like straight no huddle shotgun every play. Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely in Fox's DNA to run the ball and to play that style of offense for sure. So that how do you think the defensive line matches up with the interior of Chicago? Like, who do you think will win that battle? Like, I'll ask you this straight up.
Well, on the interior, that's obviously where the Bears' strength is, and that would you say that's where the Jaguars' strength of the defensive line is right now? Malik and Roy
are both the best players on the defensive line.
I don't feel comfortable like either way saying like, oh, okay, this side has an advantage. So it's going to probably come more down to how the linebackers play, honestly.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. Miles, they're basically saying it's full go for Miles in the starting defense. I wouldn't expect do you expect Scooter to do much more than play special teams at this point?
No, not really. Like they've done everything to say Miles is the starter, other than actually saying he's the starter at this point.
Right. So you don't really have a place for him at linebacker now. You don't. I mean, with the young defensive ends kind of coming around too, you don't really have a spot for him as a pass rusher, which he's really not that good at, anyways.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's looking like pretty much special teams duty for Scooter at this point. How big of a role do you think that Miles is going to have? Do you think it'll be like just the 20 snaps a game or so that Scooter was playing, and like how you saw Miles play in the Indianapolis game, or do you think they start fleshing his role out a little bit?
We kind of talked about this a little bit last week, but in like for the short term, just for 2016, I wouldn't really expect his workload to get that much heavier than Scooter's was, but I think the position itself will probably be different. You get what I'm saying? Like, I don't think he'll play more than the 20, 25 snaps Scooter was playing, and they'll put him out there in the same situations, but I don't think he's just going to be doing the same exact, you know, like edge setting or just standing there and reading the play like Scooter was.
Right, because a lot of times they had Scooter as, like, as a linebacker, but as the weak side edge player.
Yeah.
You know, like almost like how a 3-4 defense with the stand up backer on.
Yeah, they're basically like asking him to be like a run and chase.
Right. So, well, yeah, it's, I don't know. They're just asking him to do weird shit. So,
whenever you can experiment with Dan Scooter, you got.
Well, I think for this game specifically too, like how we just talked about, Chicago has so many injuries at wide receiver, and Fox wants to run the ball. This is shaping up to where it'll probably be a pretty Miles heavy.
Yeah.
Type of game script. Like, Chicago wants to run the ball. They're light at receiver, so you're probably going to see a lot of back and tight end sets. So it's probably shaping up to where you're in your base package at, like, not quite 50% of the time, but a little, like, more than 20. It's going to be more than 20 snaps for sure.
Yeah,
it's more not going to be like more it's than not it was. Like the, go ahead.
More than it was, like, in his first game against the Colts, where he played a ton in the first half, and in the second half, he's not on the field at all.
Right. Exactly. So, as far, do you have any, like, any other thoughts on the defense in general? I mean, that's pretty much the matchups of what it's going to come down to. Like I said, neither one of these teams is interesting. They're pretty straightforward, like I said. So,
yeah. The only, like, other thing on the defense I'd really, like, want to be paying attention to is I think it was you that made the point, like, Yannick a lot, like, he's been playing good against bad offensive tackles, and it'd be nice to see him kind of continue that over after the bye week, because the Bears, they have, you know, those three good starters on the interior, but for years, their tackles have been, like, abysmal, yeah.
Yeah, for sure, and like I said, I'm already ecstatic with what he has produced so far this year. Like, he's already much further along than you could ever ask for a rookie to be. Like, so yeah, if he can keep up his production against bad offensive tackles, because like we talked about, most teams have bad offensive tackles. So if you have a guy that can beat those guys, you're not in a horrible situation there.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, the Bears have one of the best, like, interior lines in the NFL, so if the Jaguars are going to get any real disruption or pressure, it's going to have to be Yannick and Dante against their tackles.
Right, yeah, and like I said, with the matchup, I wouldn't expect much in terms of interior pressure, like, as good as Malik has been. That's going to be interesting in terms of controlling the line of scrimmage in the run game, that particular matchup.
Definitely.
So looking at the offense, like I said, the offense is how do we do? Do we think that they get things corrected out of the bye week? I mean, it's not Chicago has a bad defense. But a lot of their, I mean, I think Purnell is their best player, right?
Yes, but I don't even think he's playing.
Yeah, that he's hurt. I think so.
Yeah, I mean, they had. I just know that because I saw that vine of him screaming at Jay Cutler, and he was in street clothes.
That's right. I don't think he is playing. They had. Yeah. They're kind of like in Jacksonville, where they're. I mean, they're transitioning their front seven, but it's all young dudes playing in the front. Basically, Leonard Floyd. I know they just drafted. I have no idea how he's doing though. Danny Trevathan is a little bit older, but still kind of a young guy. They signed him over from Denver. Willie Young, Akeem Hicks. Not really a whole lot to hang your hat on. Like if it'd be like, we know the Jaguars defensive front intimately, but if an outsider was like looking at that defensive front, like you wouldn't have that much, you wouldn't have very much respect for it.
No, it's basically like a lot of like mid tier players.
Right.
Like there's no like one single player where you're like, okay, we got to block that dude.
Yeah. So kind of mirror images of each other. Their back end, I know, is super screwed up, especially since it's Kyle Fuller.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the corner from Virginia Tech, right? That was
really good. Yeah, but he's terrible, apparently.
I know I thought he went down like early in the season too, like in preseason. Or
yeah, something. But from like all the few Bears fans I follow, they're all like, yeah, he's never.
He hasn't been good?
No.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, so I have no idea what's going on for the back end for them. I mean, really, if you think about it, this should continue to be like a get-right game. I mean, it's not as soft as an opponent as Indianapolis, but they don't have any dudes that you like. They don't have any commanding presences on defense right now suiting up for them, it doesn't seem like.
Yeah, I think it says a lot about how the offense has done these first four games, where we're at the point where we're like, we can't be confident at all that they're actually going to play well against the Bears defense.
Well, something that I was thinking about, like when I was setting some daily fantasy lineups and stuff, I was like, this should be like an automatic Allen Hurns like auto start against this team.
Yeah.
Because like, especially with Ryan, did you post that preview with a Bears fan where they talked about how like they didn't even really double team T.Y. Hilton against the Colts?
Yeah, and he was saying that was the one thing that made him worry about Allen Robinson. Because they didn't, you know, they didn't cover T.Y. Hilton with everything they had. So they were like, well, I mean, if they're not covering Hilton with this kind of stuff, like A-Rob's just going to run wild.
Right. And for sure. And A-Rob is still in fantasy and auto start every week just because he's so good at catching touchdowns. But like I said, like Hurns is only like $4,700, I think, in DraftKings fantasy. Like, and like I said, he should be an auto start. And right now, I just have no confidence that like, he's going to get targets or anything like that. And the thing that sucks is like, if you've watched their offense, like that dude has been open like consistently in their games and he's just not getting the ball.
Yeah, no, the production is not like at the fault of his end whatsoever.
Yeah. So, I mean, right. It does say for the state of this offense, like, there's just like no confidence that their good players are going to be getting the ball on a consistent basis. And you could say that for them last year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. If this game happens like in that stretch they had last year, then I'd be like, okay, yeah, A-Rob's definitely about to put up like 150 and a touchdown. But I don't even think he's topped 100 yards yet like this season. Like, in a game or whatever. He hasn't? Yeah, dang.
Nope.
Yeah, no. So until they finally have that game where it looks like they've gotten their groove back or whatever, I don't think we can go into any game saying like, okay, this is like the week they're going to light up the other team.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, I guess last week against the Colts, they scored 30 points. It was kind of a get-right game, but I don't know, man. A good offense scores 50 against the Colts.
They left a lot of plays on the field. They still left a lot on there, yeah. Man.
They left a lot of plays on the field against the Colts.
Yeah, no question.
So, like I said, Chicago's not quite the pushover that Indianapolis is, but the offense should be productive, like, in a vacuum, but...
Yeah,
we'll see how they come out. Because I can't remember off the top of my head. How has this team done with Bradley coming out of the bye week?
I'll try to find it, but I remember Ryan O like wrote something like they've traditionally have been better after the bye week.
Yeah, they're pretty.
Yeah, good. Majority of their wins. Like, that's obviously not saying much because he only has 13 or whatever the hell he has. But like, they've done a lot better, like, in comparison.
Yeah, Gus Bradley's first win was after the bye in 2013.
Oh yeah, that's
they played the Titans in Nashville. Right.
Yeah. Will Blackman like returned that INT or whatever.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with, I mean, Gus Bradley. It was all just players. I mean, it was us playing the Titans. Like that's what it was. So.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to expect. The big, if they come out and like Alan Hearns seems like he's involved, I got a pretty good feeling about the outcome of this game.
Yeah.
I think that's like a big key to it too.
No, definitely. I'd agree with that. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like this is a game where the offense should be able to get it going, but I just can't help fight that feeling. Like, okay, I don't know. They haven't like really looked right with anything, but like if there's any week for like Bortles and Hearns to get back on the same rap report they had or whatever last year, then this is it. Because it's weird because all of last season he was like his automatic like throw down and underneath guy, and this year it's not even that the throws like he's missing it badly, which he is when he's throwing it to him, but it's just he's rarely throwing it to him.
Yeah, and like I said, there's a lot of plays where he's open too. Yeah. So I don't know.
And not to harp on it too much, but like when we talk about the story arc or the, you know, if you look at last year, it was really similar. Like we played in London against the Bills, and it was a very similar game where we were up early and dominating and then let them come back and just, you know, won by a possession. Then we had the bye week, and then we were on the road against the Jets. And we just, like, I mean, Bortles looked awful. Like, he looked like he was, like, fumbling, you know, into the end zone and stuff like that. Like, that's what I fear the Bears game could be this week.
Because here's the thing is that I do not trust this Jaguars team on the road whatsoever.
No.
Yeah.
Like, they're okay at home, but on the road, like, I don't know. You just don't know what yeah. you're going to get from them, man. Do not know what you're going to get. I mean, I know it's not going all the way to the West Coast, but still, I don't know. I'm sure their road record is terrible. Their record overall has been terrible in the last four years.
I mean, anywhere they're playing, it's like their best record is in London. They're only 500 there.
I think Justice has talked to us about it, though. Like, Blake specifically is pretty bad on the road.
Yeah, I think he only has, like, one road win or something like that. Something crazy like that.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We will see how another big stupid of me to completely forget about it. What are they? What's the left guard situation supposed to be?
Patrick. I can't pronounce. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce his last name.
Mamua.
Oh,
Omame.
Amuma.
I don't know. I call it Omame, but I feel bad like saying meh in the middle of his name. So, but it's like, yeah, it's Patrick Omame. He played. I mean,
He was getting some nice push in the run game. I did notice that. I can't say that I sat there and studied him or anything. I noticed he was getting nice. So they're just going to ride. They're going to ride him. He was a tackle, wasn't he, though?
Yeah, I want to say he was taking like left tackle snaps like in the preseason or something crazy like that.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So, all right. Yeah,
and they had a different guy starting at left guard when Luke had to move over when Beecham was out for that Ravens game. They had a different guy starting at left guard instead of him. So this is like his first official start.
Okay. Yeah, that's going to be – I'm interested to see that. Like I said, it's not a buttersaw front seven like how Indianapolis is. They have, like, competent NFL dudes, but like I said, nobody that you're staying up at night worrying about the, like, we have to get this guy blocked or else he's going to fucking wreck our game plan.
Yeah, definitely.
Is there really anything else we need to cover about this game?
Not really. This isn't really like a, you know, like storyline filled game or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. There's really not that there's not that much intrigue with either one of these teams. A lot of that I feel like too is Jacksonville's coming out of the bye.
Yeah, we
have nothing new to talk about with them.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I still feel like Jacksonville like has like an interesting like season to watch because just see if like they're going to completely fold and the coach is out, or see if they're actually going to attempt to be look halfway competent for the shots or whatever.
And Houston and Indianapolis play each other this weekend too, so it's not like nobody's going to run away. Well, I mean, if Houston wins this weekend and the Jaguars lose, then What are the Titans? The Titans are right around 500, right?
Yeah, Titans are 2-3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody, I'm trying to remember exactly how the tweet went, but it like summed up the AFC South perfectly. It was like the Jaguars had a bye week, and they're the only team in the division with only one win right now, but they moved half a game closer to first place than they were before. Yeah.
That was Stevie. That was Irish Jaguar.
Oh, Stevie.
That sums up the.
what a terrible, terrible division.
Yeah. I mean, we make fun of the NFC South too, but at least the NFC South always has like one good team.
Yeah. Yeah. My Buccaneers.
do you think Atlanta is for real? Is Atlanta for real?
Yeah. Their offense is definitely for real. The Vic Beasley, like in his sacks and stuff, I don't really buy that because it was me playing right tackle, but that offense is definitely legit.
Yeah, I think so too.
Which sucks because a lot of my best tweets are the Falcons suck tweets.
So. I know. Nothing makes me happier than like teeing up the fucking Falcons.
I mean, well, we'll still have their inevitable first round playoff exit.
Yeah. That's like lock of the fucking century.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. They're gonna lose. They're gonna lose. What is it? Like 7-6 to the Rams or some shit like that.
Yeah. Rams. I'll bet on that game too.
Yeah, you'll bet that two point line, and you'll be like throwing an eight ball against the mirror.
Do we feel the line for the Jaguars and the Bears game opened at Chicago -2? I think it's moved to 2.5. It's moved to 2.5 off.
Yeah, it's 2.5 right now.
Yeah. So, do we feel that's fair? I think that's a fair line.
Yeah.
But we went through it a couple weeks ago. I think where we said, what game are they going to be favored in until they play like maybe like Indy at home? Maybe.
Yeah. Like
or Tennessee, even then, maybe.
No, even then they still have like they're still almost 500.
Yeah.
No, I want to say they've only been favored like once, like in like Gus Bradley's tenure or something crazy like that.
Would you recommend anybody taking the points betting on the Jaguars?
Don't bet on Jaguars games. No. Stop it.
I might take Chicago laying 2.5. Ugh.
Don't bet on Jaguar game. Don't bet on Browns games. Don't bet on Jaguars games.
That's just a really a good rule of thumb.
Yeah,
I bet against them week one and Green Bay covered.
Mm-hmm.
So,
hey, that's actually a really good segue because one of our questions is from our friend at in Atlanta, Chuck.
Sunday Fiasco.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's actually four verts. He asked, "How do I get?" "How do I get a refund on the money I lost betting on the Jaguars against the Ravens?"
Well, I told him not to bet.
Yeah, you deserve to lose more money than you lost.
Like he specifically asked us before that game, and we told him not to do it.
I feel like betting on the Jaguars is just a tax on the dumb. Like that's...
It is. I did it last year. I bet a lot of money on them to beat or to cover against Atlanta.
Yeah, I remember that. They were
home. I think they were home dogs against Atlanta.
They were.
Yeah, you were in Vegas for that game too, weren't you?
Yes. I was pissed, dude. Blake had that fucking. That horrible red zone interception that was like a 14-point swing.
Yep. Well, 10 points because he had the touchdown saving tackle, so it was like a 10-point swing. But it doesn't make it doesn't get you.
I think Atlanta scored a touchdown on the drive though.
No, they got a field goal.
They did.
Mm-hmm. It was like last play of the half.
Gives a shit. He lost me a lot of money. Don't bet on the Jaguars.
Don't bet on the Jaguars. That's a good podcast name. All right, next question. What do you think about Neil Sterling going forward? Julius Thomas isn't lasting forever. That's from Connor J. Mill 9.
I mean, Julius isn't going anywhere soon enough to where I would start thinking about anybody replacing him.
Yeah, like... I mean,
Julius is going to get hurt eventually. So I guess.
Man, but. he's always going to miss games here or there. But until you see like Sterling get more than one target or whatever, like he did against Indy, then I don't see anybody can really have an opinion on him.
Like what they do. How long is Mercedes signed an extension? Right, but was it only for a year or longer?
Yeah, it was only for
through next year.
Yeah, that's probably the guy who you need to keep your eye on potentially replacing. You need a do-it-all blocker guy because Julius is not about that blocking life.
No.
Not at all.
All right. From James Hendricks, who's written actually a couple of really good BCC articles about like analytics and predictive offenses. He asks, why is the offense seeing far less success than last year? And particularly, why are there fewer throws to Allen Hurns?
The quarterback's playing bad.
Yeah,
I mean.
I mean, really, we talked about it earlier in the podcast. Allen Hurns is open. Like,
yeah.
Dude's open on plays. He's either not getting targets or he's getting off-target balls. Yeah.
I can't think of one play where he threw it to Hurns and you're like, okay, that was a
mistake. I mean, he saved their asses against the Colts.
Yeah, yeah.
And now he had, what, two catches in that game, and that was one of them?
Yeah. Yeah, because I had people tweeting at me before that touchdown. They were like, so is Hurns, like, even playing? Yeah. The entire, like, just the offense and the lack of explosive plays and everything, I think that just falls directly on Blake because you've seen them have the chances at some of these deep shots, and he's just straight up missing people.
Yeah, Marquise, too.
Yeah.
And, like, a lot of what is wrong with this offense could be fixed with those touches that, like, Yeldon. I mean, Marquise is getting the ball when he's open, so you can't really blame that. But, like, I don't know, just really, a lot of Allen targets need to have been redistributed back towards Allen Robinson targets need to have been redistributed back to Hurns.
Yeah, to no.
The thing is, I don't know if Chicago's going to play them like that either. Because most of these teams have been playing Allen Robinson with hard doubles. They're playing two man under and like that safety right over the top of them, or like playing man off with the corner and having the linebacker like bail and get underneath him like immediately, so you still have like a high low layer on him.
Yeah, no, I have a disdain for everything Marquise Lee whenever like he goes 10 yards down the field, but on like these plays where they're scheming him open across the formation and getting him the ball underneath and just let him run, he honestly has not like been horrendous at that. Don't ever let him do anything other than that. Like, but like you mentioned, just the distribute this whatever of like targets of targets is so out of whack. Like, I think Ben saw as many targets as Hurns did against the Colts.
Yeah, that's just weird.
Yeah.
Shouts to him, though. Like, he came in and played pretty good as a blocker.
Yeah.
So, shouts to him. That's, like, unsung. Unsung stuff right there.
Yeah, it was his first game in, like, years, too, I think. Like, first game, like, he, like, did anything.
That's right, because I remember he was on Tampa as a rookie, and then he, like, dropped off the face of the earth, it seems like.
Yeah, I remember talking to Mike Kay about it. He was supposed to make, like, the Eagles roster, like, Chip's, like, first year when they had, like, the best offense, like, Chip had. And he ended up getting hurt right before the season started. And it was the same thing, like, next 2 years, just season-ending injuries before the season even starts.
And that sucks. Well, good for him.
Yeah. I was happy when he made a team.
Yeah, and like I said, doing like real dirty work stuff too. They got to throw him in at tight end, and he went in there and he held his own.
Yeah.
So that's pretty impressive stuff. That's the kind of stuff that lets you like hang around on a roster.
Yeah.
All right. 14 team mocker deleted this tweet, but I remember.
Of course he did.
Yeah. He asked, "Is Chris Ivory actually bad?"
I play the fifth.
Probably. They have two bad running backs.
Yeah.
Are they just not good?
Well, they're not good. They're not bad, but they're not good.
I'm more confident in Ivory looking good at some point this year than Yeldon looking legit with that.
Yeah. Well, like, especially if they keep going to more vertical push stuff. But
yeah. I mean, I'm still not buying into like Yeldon after the Colts game because the Colts are legit have to be the worst.
Like defense. Arena football team level defense.
Yeah. Miami Hurricane level.
The Arena Football League just folded up.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm actually
the Colts could probably like scout around and upgrade.
I'm actually in a like
take off a disgruntled Arena Football League player.
I'm a what's it called? I'm in a sports business class. It's like Monday and Wednesday mornings, and my Wednesday morning class, like the teacher, like always gives out these opportunities for like volunteering internships. And he talked about an internship with the Landers team. And then I have a class an hour later, and in the middle of the class, the teacher's like, "Oh wow, Landers Arena team just folded."
All right, so consensus, Chris Ivory, not bad, but not good.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay.
I want to see him, too. Like, they're not running as much stretch shit. They always try to run out to open the season, and they suck at it.
And I mean, he was also in the hospital. He was also in the hospital, like, 3 weeks ago. Yeah. So, like, this is his, like, first chance to, like, really get extended time and get 100%.
Yeah. All right, why don't they move Paws to Otto and Miles Jack to middle linebacker?
What's the Otto?
You have no reason to move Paws at this point. Paws has been playing well.
Yep.
That's the answer. I know nobody likes to hear it, but like Paws has been playing well. Everybody wants to single out the Charger game, but like I said, that's bad coaching asking him to do that when they scale back his responsibilities and ask him to do what he does. Like he's been perfectly fine.
Yeah.
The thing is too is like Miles playing as an outside linebacker that like what you would traditionally think of what a Sam linebacker is. That kind of makes sense. I'm surprised that they didn't do that sooner because that's like what he did at UCLA. He only played as like a true inside middle linebacker like one game his entire college career.
Yeah.
And that was against Virginia his junior year, and then he jacked his knee up 2 weeks later. But like he played UNLV his junior year, and he played BYU also, and in both of those games he was in that same like Sam linebacker, strong safety, nickel corner, all in one type of role where he's like out of the box basically almost. Yeah. So it just kind of makes more sense. I don't know why like he wasn't with you all offseason basically, and then they threw like the most complicated linebacker position at him. I just don't like that wasn't a good plan to get. I mean, I know that their plan is to have him take over and be the Mike eventually, but I think he could have helped this team probably a lot sooner if they would have let him just do what he was good at already in college, because he had a role where he could have done that.
Yeah, no, like the route
go ahead.
The route they went to bring him along is like something you do for a guy you're legit like not expecting to see the field all season. And that's super weird for a team who, one, he's your second round pick, and two, you have to win or you're fired. So that was just a completely like weird strategy from the get-go.
It's super weird because if you – like what was the undrafted linebacker that they had from Virginia a couple years ago?
Was it Leroy Reynolds?
Yeah, Leroy Reynolds. I remember with him like – They started him out, and the plan was to long-term groom him for middle linebacker. But they threw him into the starting lineup at Sam, like, right away, too. They tried to make him an auto or whatever right away. And, he wasn't good at it. He wasn't very good, period.
I mean they had Ryan Davis playing outside linebacker before that.
Like, really, they didn't want to pull Scoot off the field until injury forced them to, and then Jack played well when in the snaps that he got from Scooter, and kind of forced their hand. I mean, that's really what I think it came down to.
Yeah, definitely. I remember somebody made a good point, like the Colts game. Like, when Jack was on the field, like, you can't point to that as, like, okay, they finally put him on the field. Like, no, he got forced onto the field because the guy they weren't taking off legit couldn't play. So, like, that's nothing to, like congratulate them for or whatever. Like, their hand got forced, and at this point, there's just, like, no point in taking them off. So, their entire plan just got, I mean, you know, like, nature took its cycle and shitted on it because it was a terrible plan. But.
Yeah.
All right. Last question is from Augsburg, Germany, so international podcast. Before the season, many people said Jonathan Cyprian would get better with Gibson by his side. I don't think he's getting better. So why is he still starting every game? Why not putting one of the guys off the bench at his position? Miles Jack, with Colvin coming back, one of the corners. Why is Cyprian still getting starts?
Because he started for 3 years, basically. That's it. Like, I mean, who else are they really going to, like,
put
in there? I mean, the person they drafted to kind of, like, push him has had season-ending injuries 2 years in a row.
That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't play a corner at that safety spot. I mean, what Tashaun does is Tashaun basically allows it so Sip never has to play the single high role over the top. So you can't really put a corner – I mean, Tashaun is a little guy, so you can't put a corner in that other safety spot and have, like, two guys that are not going to hold up against the run, especially when one of them in this scheme is going to have, like, literally is basically a linebacker.
Yeah.
I mean, people thought that Sipp would be better at that because he's, I mean, I guess he lays big hits sometimes, but I don't know. Like, he's bad in pursuit and he takes bad. He's never been a player that I say that you can trust him against the run.
No.
Like, if you give him a clean shot on a running back where he's filling the alley, like, he'll make it look all right. But for the most part, like, especially against a running back that has to force the pursuit to change directions a couple times, him especially, like, he doesn't understand.
He legit in run defense makes players around him look worse.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
Yeah, no, I think all this comes down to is they literally have nobody else they could put in there. I mean, and at this point, it's either you start.
I think Sample would have gotten play, but he got hurt.
Yeah. It's basically you either start a bad player who has started for, you know, like 40 games or whatever, or you start a bad player who has no idea what he's doing. You're not going to get a good end result either way. But it just comes to they don't have, like, their, like, strong, like, safety of the future on the roster.
I know if Alfie was on right now, he'd be saying Jabril Peppers. Like, that should be the guy that they... Is he good? I haven't really watched Michigan.
Honestly, I don't like watching Michigan at all.
Okay.
I hate Michigan.
You're not again. Draft Hanks yet.
No.
If they leave Chicago, are you draft Hanks?
Give me till December. I don't hate myself that much. Like, I have a little bit of resemblance of a life outside.
No, Hank, you do hate yourself that much.
Okay, I do. Yeah, okay, that's fair.
You'll start fielding draft questions if they lose the next game.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll BS all of them, but sure, I'll field them. I mean, Dalvin Cook's good and all Miami players are terrible. That's only my real take.
Okay, so let's veer off right now. Like, we have a pretty good idea of what this roster is right now. Do you guys, would you agree with that? Like, there's no mysteries on this roster at this point, right?
Yeah.
Like, we know the clear, like, who's here long-term, who here. Top three positions that need upgrading the most right now. Offensive line, and we can get more specific into that. Running back and strong safety, fair.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But that might not even be arguable. Like, those three are pretty clearly the weakest on the roster.
Yeah, no question. I mean, strong safety would probably be like I'd put it like in terms of like bad player, like legit number one. Because I can't think of any other spot in the defense where you're like, okay, that player is legit terrible other than Cyprian right now.
You agree, Ryan?
I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to look at the defense and say that is, you know, two of the three positions we need to upgrade. Like, for me, I guess coaching would cover a multitude of sins. So, sure. I mean, safeties, and then, I don't know, upgrading running back would be good in an offensive line. Sure.
Yeah, not much to go from there.
Yeah.
Do we have any more?
I mean, if we really want to have a hot take, the fourth position would probably be quarterback, wouldn't it?
That's the question to answer down the stretch of this season, really.
Because I mean, like
all those other things are kind of ancillary to that main question.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it before. Like, we don't think this roster is great, but just like looking at it, there's not many like glaring like outside of a couple. Like, oh my god, this team is in a terrible spot.
And the thing is, too, a strong safety and running back like those aren't really. Yeah. It's like those aren't. Oh my god, I have to have one positions anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So offensive line, you can hide a lot of flaws on offense with it. I mean, I don't think the Raiders like. I still think talent wise, like this. I think the Jaguars have better receivers than the Raiders. I think Carr is better than Bortles, but I think that offense overall, like it's a like that offensive line that they have in Oakland, it's like a multiplier, and it allows everybody else to be like that much better than what they are. You know what I mean? You could totally see that.
Yeah, definitely.
But I mean, is there any chance in 2017 they take a quarterback that they even have a semblance of a thought? They could take over for the future.
No, they're not taking a quarterback.
Right.
No. Yeah.
They're not taking a even if Dave Caldwell goes and they bring in a new GM, I think a new GM would hold off and kind of see like where they are with yeah. Blake.
God, I mean, right, you still have him under contract for like a cheap year.
And it's like it's pretty much like first round or bust. Like you have to go all in or you go to the next round.
Yeah. Yeah, no. So if I had to guess off the top of my head, you know, not being draft tanks or whatever, like just as like right now, like a first round position, I'd probably say like strong safety or guard.
They're not gonna take a guard in the first.
No. They're not gonna take a right tackle number two overall either.
I don't think they'll draft offensive line in the first round ever again.
No. I mean,
after Luke, I don't think they will.
No, you just watch the next general manager. He'll take a safe pick.
Because the thing is, if the defense plays pretty well down the stretch, Caldwell's going to stay.
I think Caldwell's staying.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying, like after Caldwell, like every general manager is looking for the quote unquote safe pick in their first draft. And, like, a left tackle or a right tackle is always the safe pick, so go for it.
The draft is stupid.
Well, the draft is stupid. I'm just saying, what about this?
I don't know what the class looks like.
I don't know.
What if they took another corner in the first round? I wouldn't be opposed to that, because here's it. Like I said, you can't count on Prince. Prince is only signed for 1 year, too.
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
I mean, sign him to a long-term deal, but you're still going to have a guy that's got to be able to play like 4 to 8 games a year as a replacement for him. You know what I mean?
Would you rather have another like corner to add to that mix or a average to above average strong safety?
Mm-hmm. I think I'd rather take another really good corner, and then you can find with another coach and a different scheme. I think you can do something with the safety with just replacing Cyprian.
Yeah,
even if you take him in the second round. Take safety in the second round.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think you could legitimately say that, like, another corner would do just put this defense over the top. I don't know. They need another pass rusher, too, to be honest.
Yeah, I was gonna say, but I just can't see them, like, taking...
They're not going to sink another...
They're not going to take snaps away from Dante and Nick like that.
They're going to try to sign a vet, I bet. Because that's what they've been trying to do.
Yeah. I mean, for all we know, Oliver Vernon's going to be available again after he's done that.
I think we're also counting on when we say, like, oh, we'll draft so-and-so at whatever position, strong safety. We're also counting on a far higher draft pick than I think we're going to get, you know, in 2017.
No, that's why I brought up corner, because I think that they're going to have a top 10 pick again.
Yeah.
And I know that they're not going to draft a tackle in the top 10 again. I think that corner, what else are you going to draft besides corner or pass rusher up there? They would probably try to trade down, but would they be able to? Like, if they're stuck there, I think corner or defensive end is probably where they go. I
mean, the only, like, real answer
quarterback.
The only real answer is probably to not be picking top 10 for the fourth year in a row or fifth year, whatever the hell it is.
Let's not coach the Senior Bowl again.
We will.
Well, they can't. Well, because if they're in the top 10, they're going to have a new coaching staff.
Yeah,
and a new—I don't think a new staff can coach a Senior Bowl.
No, yeah, no, I can't.
I mean, hold on. Didn't the Titans decline?
I think it was the Chargers that declined.
Okay, I think.
I don't know. Senior Bowl is stupid too.
Yeah, I mean, who cares? Like, why am I arguing this?
Well, are the Jaguars the worst team in the AFC South?
I mean, going by record right now, yeah.
But look at their schedule and tell me where the wins are and tell me how you don't see a top 10 pick.
I mean, I'm not arguing.
Top 10? Yes. No, we're going to get a top 10 pick.
Top 5?
No.
Look at the schedule and tell me where the wins are.
Titans? Colts?
Okay, that's one. So we're at three wins right there.
No, I don't think we split against the Titans. I think we beat the Titans in Nashville and Jacksonville. I think we sweep the Colts, too.
So that's four?
Yeah, and that's third in the AFC South.
That's still only be top four five. Wins. They had a year where Titans picked first and they picked third. This really derailed.
That went off the rails quick. How do you think they go in the next 3 weeks? They're at Chicago, they have the Raiders at home, and then they're at Tennessee on Thursday Night Football. How does that three-game stretch go?
1-2. I think they win against the Bears, drop the next two, but I also think they'd beat the Chiefs the next week.
Oh.
So 2-2 over the next four.
Oh.
Chiefs are terrible.
Ooh.
Chiefs are terrible.
That was quite the bomb to just drop so casually.
I hope Sully's listening. Chiefs are terrible.
He is.
Okay. I don't feel like I said they're gonna beat the Vikings. It's the fucking Chiefs. I mean,
like, it was just said so offhandedly, and I know that wars are gonna be fought in 140s over that.
I mean, that's where the
guy he's is. Like, he's gonna delete your now.
Bro, okay, he's not even friends with me on Facebook, and he still finds pictures of me. So there is nothing I can do at this point.
I don't know how Sully does it, but he finds pictures of everyone somehow.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs week is going to be fun.
Yeah, well, fun's one word for it.
Ryan, what do you think?
Over the next three games, 1-2.
1-2. I think 0-3, but I'm the pessimist.
We don't have to.
Are they going to beat Chicago, or do you think they're going to beat Tennessee?
I think there's a coin flip with the Bears and the Titans, and if you have two coin flips, you win one of them.
Okay.
I'm sorry. That's dead radio. I'm sorry.
I think 0-3. I don't know. I don't think that they're going to go to Chicago and win. And I don't trust them to beat the Titans, dude. The Titans have been better this year.
They've also beat the Dolphins and
The Vikings the best game that the Vikings have had this year.
Mariota was the Vikings' leading scorer that game.
I mean, I know it was a Sean Hill game. And it was week one, so it was just kind of weird, but... Yeah.
No, I mean, like, Sands last week, I think you can make an argument, like, Mariota's been the worst quarterback in the division, and that's saying something.
And was it the Vikings-Titans game week one?
Yeah, it was. That's why I was saying that week one's always so weird.
Yeah, it's a throwaway. Who cares? Like, if they play that game in, like, week seven, like, Sam Bradford hangs, like, four touchdowns on.
Oh, they steamroll Tennessee?
Oh, yeah.
Because here's the thing about the Titans. The Titans remind me of the Jags team in the last year under Del Rio when Gabbert was a rookie. That's like exactly what the Titans are. Mm-hmm. Where like the defense isn't that good, but it looks okay just because they play at such a slow pace and the other teams that they're playing like aren't really trying to boat race them because they know that they can't score anyways.
They're just trying to like get in, get out.
Yeah, so games like never really get away from them, but they never really threaten a team to like to win, really. Well, yeah. I mean, they got a better record than the Jaguars right now, so I can't really talk that much shit.
I mean...
I don't know, dude. I think Malarkey might beat him twice. Jack Del Rio's going to beat him, and Malarkey's going to beat him twice.
Why do you have to depress me like this on a freaking Thursday, man?
What's the next question?
That was the last question.
That was the last one?
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right, so I guess we'll end on that depressing note. Raiders week next week. Are we going to find a guest or what? I don't know.
Who cares? I mean.
Jack Del Rio's return to Jacksonville. I'm actually pretty excited about that game because two teams that started their development pass at similar times, and one seems to be far ahead of the other one. That's like the nicest way I can put it. One is doing much better.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm excited for it. That, like, unlike like this week where there's literally zero storyline going into it.
Yeah, it's a really uninteresting game. This Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's on the road. You know what, though? I kind of like Jaguars road games better because, like, when everybody's at the game, like, Twitter's not as crazy when the Jaguars play at home. When they're on the road and everybody's watching on TV, that's when Jags Twitter is the best.
That's a good point. I've never seen a TL on fire as much as it was during that Chargers game a couple weeks ago. When they had like ex employees being like,
"Dude, didn't see it." Like, I was at that game, so I barely saw Twitter during that game.
We need to have it like that stretch last year where you just were asleep during every game they won.
That did happen because remember I said too I started working on Sundays and that's when they won the Bills game and then I watched the Jets game. They lost that game, so. The Baltimore game, I was watching, remember? I was watching it, and they were playing like dog shit, and I fell asleep during the game. And they ended up coming back and winning. And that's how the Miami win was, too, early in the season. So I need to start napping during Jags games again.
Yeah, I think we found the answer.
All right, well, that was a lot of really bad radio. Thank you for listening anyways. Please keep subscribing and reviewing us on iTunes. It's really, it's helped. I'm telling you guys, it's helping a lot with our outreach. Like, I'm not just saying that to bullshit around. It really, really does help with the show's outreach. And you guys have been awesome. I think we passed 1,000 subscribers a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, we did. Well, this week.
Yeah. This week we did. Yeah. Okay. So, shouts to you guys. Thank you for listening to us ramble on about this crappy team every week. Like I said, too, I'm glad that everybody in Jacksonville is safe. And we will do this again next week. And I'm sure, like I said, we won't have like 2 weeks of just waiting around. I'm sure there will be plenty of things to talk about. As boring as this game is going into it, I'm sure that the Jaguars always find a way to give us things to talk about.
Yeah.
So, all right. Hey, and keep tweeting your questions to the Keep Chopping Wood handle, too.